Today's shir is Masechta Rabba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Beis on the bottom line for Tanya. In our previous shir, the Gemara had a discussion, Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, how do we view a Kinyan Aperis? That if somebody only owns partial ownership of a property, Kinyan Aperis, that he only is entitled to the Aperis. How does the halacha view such a situation? Does the halacha look at kinyan peiros k'kinyan aguf or not? And Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was that kinyan peiros is k'kinyan aguf. Rish Lakish's opinion was that kinyan peiros is not k'kinyan aguf. And the last piece of Gemara we had learned was the Rabbi Yochanan was trying to prove his opinion from a case where somebody had left instructions that his assets should go to Reuven, and after Reuven passes, they should go to Shimon, and after Shimon, and then to Levi, and then Shimon passed away during the lifetime of Reuven. So now the question is, when Reuven is nifter, what would be the halacha? Will those assets go to, when Reuven is nifter, will those assets go to Levi? That's for sure not, because that's not what was instructed. The instruction was it should go from Reuven to Shimon. The question is, should it remain by Reuven or should it go back to the original owner? And the question really is, dependent on the question that we are discussing in our shir today. Is Kinyan Peiros, the Gemara wanted to say, considered like he has an ownership and therefore Reuven is considered an owner or not? And the Gemara said, that case cannot really be a raya to what we're discussing, because that is a case of achrecha. And achrecha is different. But Tanya, ask the Gemara. The Braisa says that if, as we just explained the example, where the instruction was we should go from Reuven to Shimon, from Shimon to Levi, if Shimon predeceases Reuven, when Reuven is nifta yachshu yorshe noisen, it should go to the Yarshim of the original owner of those assets. Now, ask the Gemara, if we're going to say the Kinyan Peiros is treated like a Kinyan Aguf, so why should it not go to the Yarshim of the person who received it, to the Yarshim of Reuven? Because since, as we learned, Reuven had a ownership position in these Peiros, in these assets, because as we explained, that he had a Kinyan Peiros in that. And since he had a Kinyan Peiros in that, in those assets, so and if we learn, as Rabbi Yochanan does hold, that Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf, they should go to his Yarshim. So answers the Gemara, Tanaihi. This question of Kinyan Peiros, Kinyan Aguf, Dami, or not, is actually a Machloikus Tanoim. And therefore the two Brises that we've been discussing, the Brice that we discussed at the end of yesterday's shir, and the Brice that we begin today's shir, really represent that machloikus. Do we say Kinyan Peiros k'Kinyan Aguf? If we say Kinyan Peiros k'Kinyan Aguf, so in this case, it would go to the Yarshim of Reuven. If we say Kinyan Peiros, this is the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara, if however we say that Kinyan Peiros is laf k'kinyan aguf, then the halacha would be, they would go to the yarshim, of the noisim. The Yad Rama has a different approach to this Gemara. The Yad Rama's approach to this Gemara is that the Gemara, as we mentioned in yesterday's shir, said that when it's a situation of achrecha, everything is different, and the question is. And he says that's the machloikus of these two brises. The machloikus of these two brises is achrecha indeed change it or not. And says the Gemara d'Tanya, where do we see this machloikus? And again, as we're learning the Gemara like the Rashbam, that the machloikus is over the subject of kinyan peiros k'kinyan aguf or not. The Tanya, somebody says, nechasei l'cha v'achrecha l'ploini, that I'm giving you my assets, and after you pass away, I'm giving it to you, Reuven. And after you, Reuven, pass away, they will go to Shimon, the yard Rishon, and Reuven went and sold those assets. Mocher, he sold the assets, Vachal, and he consumed the money. And the halach is, and now he passes away. So Tanakama holds, Rebbe holds, Sheni Moitzim Yad al Kuchas. The Rebbe says that the Sheni, Shimon, could go and ask back for that money, because he's supposed to get the assets or the value of the assets after the passing of Reuven. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ein L'Shena El Ma'a Shishai Rishon, whatever was left over, indeed Shimon will get. But whatever is not left over, Shimon will not be able to get. And it seems, to way to understand, is that Rebbe's opinion is that since all Reuven has in these assets is a Kinyan Peiros, and Kinyan Peiros is not Kinyan Aguf, so he really had no right to sell those assets. They're not really his. And therefore, even if he sold those assets, the value of those assets really belonged to Shimon. Whereas Rav Shimon's opinion is that Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf. If Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf, so then it's considered completely Reuven's asset. And since they're considered completely Reuven's assets, Reuven had every permission to sell it, and Shimon, now after Reuven passes away, has no recourse, because that's what happened. These assets belong to Reuven, and when he sold them, he had every right to sell those assets. The Rishonim discuss that what is the point in the Ochelas Adomim. So Rashbam says that what the Braisa means to say Ochelas Adomim is that it doesn't really represent a specific Chiddush. That's normally what happens. You sell an asset, you get paid for those assets, and you use the money, you spend the money. However, the Tosfos Arid has a different approach. And the Tosfos Arid says that the entire discussion here is that the money was used up by after the first Reuven sold his assets, and he got paid for those assets, and he used the money. But says the Tosfos Arid, let's say it wouldn't be that way. If the money that he received for those assets was still here, so the Tosfos Arid wants to suggest that everybody would agree that Shimon has a right to get that money. Continues the Gemara, Vermini. So now the Gemara asks a stira in the opinion of Rebbe and in the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Because Vermini, the Braisa says, again, this person says the asset should be yours, Reuven, and afterwards it should go to Shimon. And Yorod Rishon Amarid V'Echel, and Reuven sold those assets, got paid for those assets, and used the money. Rebbe says he has every right to do so. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein L'Rishon El Achiras Peiros Bilvad. He has no right to do so. So ask the Gemara, Kasha the Rebbe at the Rebbe. In the previous Braisa, Rebbe said that not only shouldn't he sell it, but if he sold it and got paid for it, Shimon has recourse back to the money. And here Rebbe's saying, go sell it. And Shimon Gamliel of Shimon is also questionable. Before Rav Shimon Gamliel says sell it, and the Rav Shimon Gamliel says it, and you keep the money, and the Shimon has no claim on this money. And here, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, Ein L'Rishon El Achiras Peiros Bilvad, meaning that he shouldn't have sold it. So says the Gemara. The Rebbe like Kasha, Ha L'Gufa, Ha L'Peira. As we've been saying, since Reuven was given these assets only as long as he's alive, so as we keep on explaining, that means he only has a Kinyan Peiros in those assets. Since he only has a Kinyan Peiros in the assets, so if he sells it with that understanding, then it's available, and then it's a valid sale. But if he sells it as if he's the owner of the entire asset, then that's not a valid sale, for he is not really the owner of the entire asset. And I saw that the Rimi Gash explains what the Gemara is coming to teach us is that we would think that since he only has a Kenyan Peiris of these assets, he should not be allowed to sell it at all. Tells us Rabbi, no. If he has a Kenyan Peiris, and when he sells it only with the Kenyan Peiris, it's perfectly acceptable. The Shimon Gamliel Loikasha, Ha Lechatchila, he should not be selling those assets because the owner of those, the original owner of those assets, had made it clear that it, what he wants is that those assets should go to Reuven, and after Reuven passes, they should go to Shimon, not that Reuven should be allowed to sell it. But if Reuven did sell it, since the halacha is, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Kenyan Peiros Kenyan Aguf, so he has a right to sell it. And if he exercised that right, good for him. For Habba the Eved, that if he did exercise that right, that then he has exercised a right that he has every right to do so. Amar Abaya, Eza Rosh Ha'orim. So continues Abaya in saying, who is considered Rosh Ha'orim? A conniving Rosha. Zeh Messiah Eitzelim Kamin Chasim Kribashim Gamliel. Somebody who advises Reuven to sell the assets. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, why is the person who gave the advice called the Rosh Ha'orim? Why isn't Reuven, who sold the assets, called the Rosh Ha'orim? Didn't Rav Shimon Gamliel just tell us that he shouldn't have sold those assets? So explain the Rishonim, absolutely, he should not have been the one to sell those assets. However, he sold those assets, and as we just learned, he's halachically allowed to sell those assets, and we now understand what he did and why he did it. He wanted to realize that gain, because he knew that after he passes, those assets are not staying with his family, those assets are going to Shimon. So even though he did the wrong thing, and we can indeed call him a Rasha, but he did it for benefit. However, the person who gave him the advice that halachically he may do so, such an individual is called a Rosh Ha'orim. He's a conniving Rasha. He's a conniving Rasha because he didn't personally gain anything from what he just did. And therefore, to do the wrong thing and not even have any gain from that, that is called a Rosh Ha'orim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha of Shim Gamliel. The Halacha follows the opinion of Shim Gamliel that he sold off those assets. If Reuven sold off those assets, the Halacha would be that it's acceptable because Kenyan Peiros of Kenyan Aguf. Umayda, however, he agrees, Shim Nosnam Matana Shchimara, that if he gave those assets away as a Matana Shchimara, then Lo Yasa Klum, that would be an invalid transfer. Ask tomorrow, why is there a difference if he sold the assets or gave them away as a matana shchimara? My tama, explains the Gemara, explains Abaya, Om Abaya. Matana shchimara lekona el achamisa. When does the matana shchimara kick in? Only after the passing in our Gemara of Reuven. And in that case, the person, this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The person, the original owner of these assets, who had given these assets to Reuven, had in mind that after Reuven has no use for them, they should go to Shimon. So when this Reuven is a Shchimera, he has no asset. He has no need for those assets anymore. He's already, unfortunately, Shchimera. So at that point, what this original giver wanted, that those assets should go to Shimon, kicks in. The Matana Shchimera, however, kicks in only after Reuven passes away. But by that time, those assets are already by Shimon, and it's too late for them to go to anybody that he said. The Rashba says that by somebody saying achrecha, he made him into a yoirish. Now the halacha of a yoirish is that at the moment of death is when the yorshim of somebody's assets become the owner of those assets. whereas the Tana Shchemara is only after his death. And therefore, again, because that's the halacha, it becomes Shimon before Reuven's instruction as a Matana Shchemara could kick in. Ask the Gemara, Umiyam Abaya Hachi. Is this indeed, ask the Gemara, the opinion of Abaya, that a Matana Shchemara only becomes effective totally after he passes away? But Mar, Matana Shchemara Mem Sekaina, at what point does the Matana Shchemara kick in? Abaya in Gemam Nisa, as he's dying at the time of death. Rav Amar, Lach Gemam Nisa. So if you say that it comes at the after death, like Rava says, the teretz that the Gemara just gave is quite understandable. But if we say that it comes all at the same time, so why would I say that it goes to Shimon more than it should go to the people that Reuven, through his Matana Shchemara, instructed it should go to? Answers the Gemara, Hadabai Abai Mehi. Abaya retracted that opinion. Ask the Gemara, what compels us to say that he retracted that opinion, to say that the Matana Shchemara comes earlier? Maybe he retracted from the opinion that the Matana Shchemara comes earlier, and he holds that the Matana Shchemara comes later. Says the Gemara, lo yisak adatech. Says the Gemara, doesn't make sense, because the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Gittin daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph teaches us, if somebody says to his wife, Ze Gitech Imati, when I pass away, this get should be a get. Or he said, Ze Gitech Mechayli Zi, he says, this get should be a get if I pass away from this disease. Ze Gitech Lachemiso, this get should be effective after I die Layam Akulam. Because in all these cases, his intention was that the get should only be effective after he passes away. And as we learned, and get lachamisa. So we see from here, says the Gemara, that Abaya, that the Mishnah is teaching us, that whenever we have a transaction that somebody says should be effective after I pass away, he doesn't mean that it should happen together with death. What he means to say is that it should happen after death. Because as I saw Rabbi Chaim Brisker discusses, if his statement were to mean that I want it to happen together with death, not after death, then it wouldn't be necessarily a problem of ain't get lachamisa. Rabbi Kivega asks the question, even if we'll understand that if it happens together with death, we don't have the problem of ain't get lachamisa, but we just learned on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, asked Rabbi Kivega, that a goysis can't make any transaction. And at that point, how could the get be effective? Even though he's not dead, but he's a goysis. So the Machna Ephraim says that since he's here and he's giving the instructions, when do we say that something is not effective together with death? When you want to make a kinyan, that's totally from scratch. But here he's here, and just instructing when the get should be valid, that doesn't have that problem. Omrav Zera, Omrav Yochanan, Halach Rav Shim Gamaliel, Vafilo Hoy Bar Avodim Vaitzin L'Cheiris. Even if Reuven received Avodim, and he freed them, the halacha is that he is the full-fledged owner, and he had right to do so. Ask the Mar, why should Avodim be different than any other transaction? Pshita, answers the Gemara, Manatema, maybe Reuven received his avodim from whoever was giving the gift. Now, the halacha is, one is not allowed to really free his avodim, as the Torah says, Lo'ilam b'hem t'avoidu. And maybe, therefore, an argument can be made. Amale, the person who gave it to him could say that I gave it to you, l'mevet esura l'yavin aloch. My intention in giving it to you was never that you should use it to do something which is prohibited. Kamash Milan, that we do not say so. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Halachos like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Reuven is the full-fledged owner of these assets. V'afilu also tachrichan l'meis. even if he used it to make tachrichin. So ask the Gemara, if Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion is that Reuven could do whatever he wants with those assets, pshita. So why can't he, why should making tachrichim be any different? In other words, tachrichim are also bahano. But why should it make a difference what he chooses to do with those assets? Answers the Gemara. Matatema, maybe the person who gave it to him originally says, or we say he meant to say, L'shevnu isur anor lo yavni loch, I never gave it to you with the intention that you should make it into something which is also ba'ano, kamash malon, that we don't say so. Says the Gemara. And the introduction to this Gemara is we know that on Sukkos we're supposed to take the Dalaminim, and the Torah Kedoshah says, L'kach t'lchem b'yom rishon, pre-eitz hadar, and the Gemara learns from the word lochem, shemelochem, that the esrig, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of esrig, the esrig has to be completely yours. And now, what we are discussing is now that we're speaking about new types of kinyonim, kinyon peiris. So the question is, in what circumstances is the esrig considered yours? And in what circumstances will the esrig not be considered yours? And therefore says the Gemara Darsha of Nachman Bar of Chizda, esrig zeh nos locha b'matonam, I give you this esrig, v'achrecha, and afterwards it should be l'ploini. The loch is not l'arishin. If the Reuven who received the esrig used it on Sukkos, yotzeba, the question is that he wants to be yotze with that esrig, so suggest the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says you could sell it, because Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is kinyan peiris ki kinyan agof, so it's your esrig. And if it's your esrig, you're mekayim the mitzvah. According to Rebbe, who says kinyan peiris is lafki kinyan agof dami, ostensibly, you can't be yoytz to the mitzvah without esrig. Says the Gemara, maskler of Nachman Yitzchak, at kan lo pligi Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel hosom. Where do we have the machloikus in our shir? Where Reuven is selling off these assets? Ella, because we have Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion, as we just said, is that kinyan peiris ki kinyan agoftami, or Mar Sava, and Rebbe's opinion is kinyan peiris lav ki kinyan agoftami. But says the Gemara Hocha, in the case that we are describing over here, why would somebody give an esrig to someone? He's obviously giving him the esrig because he wants him to be able to mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim with the esrig. So obviously, lemay yavnilei. Obviously, he gave it to him that he should be yotze with that esrig. So even Rebbe should agree that he's yotze with that esrig. Says the Gemara, correct. El mape the kolam loy pliga the nafik body is no machloikus. Even Rebbe will agree that the esrog that was given that way, and even though he has no right to sell that esrog according to Rebbe, because if you only have a kinyan peiris, you have no right to sell it. Still, he's yoytza. He'll be yoytza that with that esrog. Why? Why indeed? So Bochanan explains that the person who's giving the esrig in this case that we're learning now is the one that's in control of this transaction. So even if we explain that in the normal circumstances of achrecha, what achrecha represents is that all you have is a kinyan peiris, and therefore Rebbe says, since you only have a kinyan peiris, you have limited abilities in what you can do. Here, it was clear, explains Rabbi Chanan, that this person wanted it to be more than your regular kinyan peiris. He wanted him to have a much stronger ownership in this esrig in order that he should be able to mekayim the mitzvah. And the way I saw Issa Zalman Ditzel explains that the way to understand this Gemara is that he didn't mean to give him only kinyan peiris. What he meant to give him was a kinyan aguf but a kinyan guf with an expiration. Others explain the Gemara very differently. That, as we said a moment ago, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of esrig, it has to be lochem. Now the question is, what is the definition of lochem? Does lochem mean full-fledged ownership? Or, those achroinim suggest, what the Gemara here means to say is that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lochem, you don't have to have a very strong level of ownership. Having a kinyan peiros, the Rebbe says normally a kinyan peiros lavka kinyan aguftami, is sufficient to be mekayim the mitzvah of esrog. However, machroi, if somebody sold off the esrog, or achloi, or he eats it, that is going to be the machloikis of Rebbe of Shimon Gamliel. Rebbe says you have no right to sell it, kinyan peiros lavka kinyan aguf, and Shimon Gamliel says you do. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna. Ha'achin shekano esrog b'tfusas abayis. A father, Rachman Tzlon, passed away, and they have not divided the assets. And until the assets are divided, they're called tfusas abayis. And they bought an esrog from that tfusas abayis. The notlo echemahen, and one of the brothers went and took that esrog. The Yotzeba, he wanted to take that esrog to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalaminim. Im yochel le'echloi, if he's able to eat that esrog, that means that there are other esrogim in the home that the other brothers can use, or it's easy to find esrogim in the city, or the brothers had already fulfilled the mitzvah of Dalaminim, and they don't need this esrog. All of these are examples that the Rashbam gives us. So, and even if it's only the first day of Yontif, and the esrog is needed for the rest of the Yontif, the main mitzvah of esrog, explained that Rishayim and Achrayim, is in the first day. And furthermore, the halacha is that the rest of the Yontif, you could get the esrog, it's Chol HaMoed, you could buy a new esrog. Or as the Rishash says, on the first day, this din of lochem is only on the first day of Yontif, not on the other days of Yontif. And therefore, the other days of Yontif are not such a great concern. So, im yochel achloi, if the brother who took the esrog could use it and even eat it, that shows ownership of the esrog, and yotzo, that's why he was yotzo the mitzvah dalmina with that esrog. Have him lav, if the brothers don't allow him to do that, so that shows that he has minimal ownership of the esrog, and therefore lo yotzo. So the question here is, what is the halacha if the brothers bought an esrog together, and or it's not just brothers who bought an esrog together, but they only bought one esrog? Can they be mekayim the mitzvah with the esrog hashutfim? Which of course the Rishonim discuss was the typical case in those days where they did not live in a world that everybody bought their own esrog. So can the community bought an esrog? How can we be mekayim the mitzvah of dalminim that way? Some say that it's esrog hashutfim. It's not, you can't be yoytzim. But the Rashbam says, of course, you're yoytzim. Why are you yoytzim? He says, because what we assume is that if we have a group of people who are partners in esrog, every one of us allows the one who's picking up that esrog to be yoytz the mitzvah of esrog at that moment with that esrog, to have himself full-fledged ownership in that esrog. And therefore, the halacha is that I'm yoytzu that mitzvah. And here too, the entire discussion here is not, explains the Rashbam, in a case where we brought esrogim together to be yoytzu the mitzvah, the brothers brought the esrogim together to be yoytzu the mitzvah, then it would be like an esrog hashutfim. Other Rishonim say that the Rosh has the approach, and this is connected to what we explained before. The Rosh says that even though the Torah tells us that when it comes to esrog, it has to be lochem, explains the Rosh, it doesn't have to be such a serious level of lechem. Normally, the definition of ownership means that I own something all by myself. Here, says the Rosh, if I am a partner in something, even though I obviously the definition of partnership means that I don't own it myself, but that, as long as I'm a partner in it, says the Rosh, that's good enough to be yotze the mitzvah. A third opinion is a much more fundamental question. The question, according to that opinion, is when we speak about something that's owned by in partnership, how do we understand something owned in partnership? Does that mean that I own, let's say we have two people own something, but both have 50%. Does that mean I have 50% ownership and you have 50% ownership? Or does it mean that I own the entire object and you own the entire object together with each other? If we say that the definition of partnership doesn't limit the percentage of my ownership, it means I own the whole thing together with somebody else, so that's why I can be yotze the esrig, even with esrig or shutim. Says the Gemara, when we speak about the tfusas habayis with the esrig, says the Gemara, dafka dek esrig l'chol chad v'chad. Every one of the brothers has his own esrig. Avil parish or rimen, if there's only one esrig, and the other brothers have different fruits, loyotza, because then they say, you have an esrig, and you're going to be able to be yotza the mitzvah with the esrig. We don't have a esrigim, so you can't dispose of this esrig, eat it, sell it, because we need it to be yotza our mitzvah. And therefore, our halacha is that even though the fruit that they have in terms of value may be worth as much as the esrig, it doesn't change that he doesn't have control over that esrig. And since it doesn't change his control over the esrig, the halacha is that he can't be yotzei with that esrig. So now the Gemara begins to discuss how one can fulfill a mitzvah of esrig if he doesn't own his own esrig. And says Rava, Amar esrig zeh noslok matana. So I have an esrig, and I want somebody else to be able to be yotze the mitzvah. So I say, esrig zeh noslok matana. I'm giving this esrig to you as a gift. However, I'm nasha taksirali. And this is what's known as a matana manas l'achzer. V'notla, and then the person who I gave the esrig to took it, the yotzebai, and he shook the esrig, hechzira, and he fulfilled the condition, he gave it back to me, yotze, he's fulfilled the mitzvah. Lo hechzira, but if he didn't give it back, lo yotze. Because it was given clearly with a stipulation that it's only going to be yours with a matanam naslachs if you're going to give it back to me. And if you're not going to give it back, if you're not going to give it back to me, then it's not considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah. So, of course, the question is that when we learn often in Shas, the halachas of Tanoim, one of the issues that we often discuss is that you have to have many different rules and how a Tanai is considered a valid Tanai. It has to be a Tanai Kafel, etc. And the question here is, when you make a Matana Manas L'Achs Bein Echs, do you do all these halachas? So the Rashbam asked this question, and he says that the halacha, that you have to have all of these rules to make a Tanai a valid Tanai, is only by all sorts of transactions. But financial transactions don't require that. So the Rishonim asked, Tosfos asks on the Rashbam, where do we learn the halacha of Tanai Kafel, for example? He says, we learn the halacha of Tanai Kafel from the division of the Bnei Gad or Bnei Ruvain. And the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain's division was clearly, he says, a situation of Davar Mamon. We're talking about getting shares in Eretz Yisrael. So how do we say that by Davar Shem Mamon the rules don't apply? So the Ramban says that even though Reb Meir said his rule by all types of Tanoim, we only accept Reb Meir's opinion by Isuri Arayis, not by mammon. But there's another approach to answering this question. One approach is the way the Tanai was said. If the Tanai was said with the word im, so this is the Meiri's approach, so then all the rules of Tanoim are required. If the word im was not used, then all Hilchos Tanoim are not required. And then there's a third approach that many Rishonim suggest. That when do all of the rules of, when do we need to have all the rules of Tanoim? Well, it's not that clear how serious the stipulation is. But in a situation where it's very clear and obvious that this person is interested in having this happen, I'm giving somebody else the esrig because I want him to fulfill the mitzvah. There's no need for all of these halachas. Kamash malon. The matan. And what are we learning from here? Says the Gemara. The matan amlach lahachser. When I give it to you as a matana amlach lahachser, shma matana. It's considered a valid matana, provided that you give it back and you fulfill this stipulation. Now, the question that comes up, there are a number of questions when we speak about this matana al-mas lachsim. Can it be given from one person to the next? That means Reuven owns an esrig, and he has a number of people in shul that want to be mekayim the mitzvah. Does Reuven gives it to Shimon a matana al-mas lachsim? Could Shimon give it to Levi and then Levi to Yehuda? Does everybody have to go back to Reuven? Some suggest that if Reuven gave it to Shimon, as long as Shimon makes sure that the esrog will ultimately come back to Reuven, the fact that it was passed on to a number of people, the halacha is that it's still fine. Because every person, when he gave it to the next person, at the time he gave it, was the full-fledged owner of the esrog. Then the Chazon Ish was asked the question that to give back, the halacha, as we keep on repeating, is that the esrog has to be given back, not just that it has to be given back, it has to be given back in the state that it was given. So if, for example, the esrog had a pitim that fell off, so it wasn't returned as it was supposed to, and therefore if I didn't return the esrog as I was supposed to return the esrog, I can't be Mekayim the mitzvah, because I cannot be Mekayim the mitzvah. I wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah because I didn't fulfill the condition of returning it as I received it. So now, the question that was asked at Chazon Ish is the example that we just gave. There's an esrog in a shul. One person owns the esrog. There are nine other people that are going to be yoytzei the mitzvah. They're going to be yoytzei the mitzvah with his esrog. And the question that we need to discuss here is, when we speak about such a situation, how does the halacha look at this situation where the esrog pitim broke when it went from the ninth to the tenth person? Do we say that it wasn't given back as it was given? And if it wasn't given back as it was given, so then we don't have a matana amnas lachser. And if we don't have a matana las lachser, everybody's going to have to do it over again. Or do we say it's the tenth person that will have to do it over? The first nine got it and did it right, and they don't have to do it over. And the Chazon Ish's opinion is that the first nine do not have to do the mitzvah over. Says the Gemara, there was a woman that owned a tree in the property of Rabibi Barabaya. And every time she came to cut fruit off the tree, have a kapralei. Rabibi Barabai was upset because she would trample on his property and ruin it. So she didn't want to deal with this anymore. She gave this tree to Rabibi for the duration of his life. And Rabibi went, he gave ownership of this tree to his son, because what he was concerned was that after he passes away, the woman's going to come and want to get back the property. And he, following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, says that if somebody is given a kinyan peiros in a property, kinyan peiros ki kinyan aguf, he has a right to do whatever he wants with it. And therefore, Rabibi assumed that this is the same situation. And since Rabibi assumed that it's the same situation, that's why he had a right to give it away. So of course, asked the Rashbam, even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that technically you may do so, he said that you're only allowed to do so with the Yevid. L'chatchila, you shouldn't do so. So how could Rav Bibi have done something which technically is not supposed to be done, l'chatchila? So Rashbam says, only in a case where the person, where did Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say his rule? He said Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said his rule where the person who gave Reuven the assets made it clear that after you pass, I want the assets to go to Shimon. So by selling it, even though Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says you're allowed to, you're violating the spirit of the law. You're violating the spirit of the law because he said that I want it to go further and not be sold. Here, she didn't use the word achrecha. And since she didn't use the word achrecha, it's a very, very different type of situation. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, so Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua said to Rabibi, Mishum da Asim Meloi, you come from the family of Eli, Amrisa Meloi. Rabibi was the son of Abaya, and we know as the Gemara Masech to Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph teaches us, that Abaya and Rava were descendants of Beis Eli. And they're called Meloi because they lived in the city called Memala. As the Gemara, as the Medrash says, Ramei went to the city of Memala, and he saw that the people of that city were passing away young. And he said, it must be, there's no coincidence. Why are the people in the city, unfortunately, passing away young? Because they're descendants of Eli. And the Pasuk says, regarding Eli, V'chol marbis beisecha, your descendants, Yemusu Anoshim, will die young. So Amaloi, they said to Meir, Hispalo Leinu, daven on our behalf. Says the Gemara, Amalem, Remeir said to them, L'chu v'asu tztaka, du tztaka v'atem zoichem l'zikna. You will be able to live long lives. As the Pasuk in the Masechta, the Gemara Masechta, Rosh Hashanah teaches us, Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Em yiskapa avayim beis eli, bezevichu mincha, and explains the Gemara, Bezvavach mincha ein miskapa, bringing kabbonis won't help them. Av miskapa hu b'tayra ube gemilas chsadim. Learning Torah and gemilas chsadim will give you long life. And therefore, the city of Melissa, some say it means to be cut. Another pshat is that Melissa is from the word omlo, to be in sorrow. They were a city of people who grieved because people died young. We're learning the Gemara Melissa, they said cut off words. It said because Afila of Shim Gamliel Ella La'acher. Even Shim Gamliel said that when he said to give somebody else, Avil, when he said La'atzmoy, in this case the woman wanted the tree to come back to her. If he gave instructions, I'm giving you the assets, and after your passing, they should be given to someone else. So there, Shim Gamliel says that if the person sold it, it's considered a valid transaction. But here, the woman in our case wanted it to come back to herself. In a case where he wanted it to come back to herself, everybody will agree, meaning of Shim Gamliel, that if he sold it or gave it away to somebody else, it will not be valid. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Shaza Nosnul Chavamatana, I'm giving you this animal as a gift, Amnach Shetachziruli, and you, with the condition that you have to give it back to me. Another example of Matanam Nas Lachzer. And while this recipient had this animal, Higdisha, he was Magdashit, and then Echziroi, Hareza Mugdash Mukhsar, the Loch is considered that it's a valid, that he fulfilled his condition. He's supposed to give it back, and he did so. Amalei Rav Nachman, my Hadri, how we could say that this is acceptable? He did he didn't give him back the animal. The animal is not usable. It became a car. It became hegdish. Amalei, to which Rav Nachman says to Rav Amai Chasrei. And the basis of this question is a Gemara that we often discussed in Masechta Bava Kamma. The Gemara Masechta Bava Kamma says if somebody stole, for example, chametz from somebody else, and he, of course, as the Torah says, v'heshiv es gzeila, you have to return what you stole. And he has the chametz over Pesach, and he gives it back after Pesach. He could say, harei shechol afanecha, I'm giving you back what I stole. I now, this chametz has no value because it's chametz shavu l'Pesach, immaterial. So how do we look at this situation? El Amar Rav Ashi. The way to look at the situation is as follows. Chazinon. I amalei amnash shetachziru. If he said amnash shetachziru, and he didn't use the word li, hahadre, he gave it back. However, if he added the words, I amalei amnash shetachziru li, by adding the word mi, li, what he meant to say was, mi did chazalei kamalei. You're giving me back something that I could use. And if you were magdish the animal, it's obviously not usable by me anymore, and therefore it will not have been considered that I fulfilled the conditions of matana menas l'achzer.